Amen. Let's go ahead and stand on this beautiful Sunday morning. Amen. It's a very special day to me, my family. It should be for all of us, amen, because the Lord is always moving and doing something, amen, in anybody and everybody's life. Amen. So here this day, I want to thank everybody for your prayers. I was sick after preaching last Sunday. Amen. Until today, I'm going to take it easy after this also. But I had to make it today because my beautiful, precious daughter, Bianca, is here from Amsterdam. Amen. So I'm really, really blessed on this day, on this occasion, that at one time looked like it was never going to happen. But God, like I said, is always at work. No matter what you're facing right now, whatever you may be going through, He's always at work, even when you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing to make that appointment with Him. Amen. He still loves you. There's nothing that can stop Him from loving you. His agape love, unconditional love, just continues to reach out, to embrace, to forgive, to cleanse, to wash, because He's got a plan, a purpose for each and every one of us here this day. So, at this time, I'm going to have my beautiful daughter, Bianca, come and testify what's been going on in Amsterdam. Amen. And I'm going to need the mic.
Amen. Amen. How's everybody doing this beautiful Sunday morning? It's good to see all of you. I see some familiar faces and some new faces. But for those who don't know me, my name's Bianca. I'm 22 years old. And currently right now, I'm a student in the UTC Amsterdam. And man, God has been doing so much there in Amsterdam. I'm truly grateful to be a part of what we're doing over there. We're pioneering the UTC over there and as well helping build the base church out there. And we've truly just been seeing revival take place over there. When I first got there, the church was like roughly around 50 people, but now we're seeing a growth come into the church through the UTC. And when I went to the UTC, it wasn't for all these great things. I just wanted to go to grow my relationship with God. But while being there, God has shown me so much about myself. He's shown me the giftings and the talents that He's placed within my life. Also, that He's called me to be a leader for this generation. Because how many know that, you know, we're in a generation where they need examples to look up to. And I'm just so grateful to be here with you guys visiting. I'll be here for a month and then I'll go back. But while I'm here, man, I just can't help to stand beside you guys to help grow while I'm here. And just see what God's going to do. So, amen. God bless you guys.
You may have your seats here on this beautiful Sunday. I'm going to be giving the word here this day from my heart. I always do. For all of you all are my children, my spiritual sons and daughters. And it's just today I'm going to highlight my daughter. I'm going to highlight my daughter that I'm real proud of and that the Lord is doing a work not only in but through. And so she came in last night as a surprise, amen. That's why nobody knew she was coming, for grandma could be surprised, grandpa, little Elias and stuff. So everything went good. You know, I was just really sick this week, real, real sick. And I'm glad to be behind the pulpit again, amen. But I know I still got to be careful until I know I'm super strong again, amen. Yeah, you heard right, super strong, amen. I want to preach here this day, amen, on never giving up, on never giving up. There's things that will confront us within our lives, through our children, our marriage, the ministry you oversee, whatever it may be. Amen. I just want to let you know that the Lord is always at work. Amen. And if that was not a truth, Bianca would have not testified of being in Amsterdam. Amen. And I believe one of the top ones of her class out there as well. Amen. Because everything that had been taught to her as a coming out of the womb all the way up, amen. The Bible says, train a child up in the way he should go, and he would not depart from it. And so she knew how to get her way back and everything, but she needed help. She needed help. And I believe there's some that might be listening to my voice here this day, those viewing online, listening to my voice, that you're still trying to work things out by yourself. And a few of the reasons you work things out for yourself is that you don't want nobody to know what you're going through. You'd rather keep it on the down low. So you, year after year, you're trying to work something out of your life that's meant for God to work out using others. We need one another. There's not one here, including your pastor, that can make it without help. Amen. My wife was the only one that didn't get sick. Grandpa got it. I got it. Elias got it. And my wife was the only one running around nervous around the house, feeding everybody and running back and forth and doing all the ins and the outs, even bringing the trash in and out that I usually do. Amen. So I believe there's some here this day that need help, that need godly help that he wants to give through people. Amen. And the title of this morning's message is One Door Away. One Door Away. I want you to look at that picture for a while. Shows one shut and the other one open. Amen. One door away. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, is the scriptures I'm going to be using here this morning. And I pray that you all pay attention, because we all know a Bianca. We all know someone that needs help right now. Or you just might be the Bianca that needs help here on this day. You need help. And it's okay to need help. Amen. And that's why the Lord has designed a body, which is his body, his church, amen, designed for us to grow together, help one another, and not only help one another, but to grow the church and to save the lost and the bound. So each and every one of us have a very important role here this day, but we need one another. There's no man, no woman, no young adult that can do it all by himself. Impossible. Impossible. I mean, even Jesus needed help when he walked on this earth. Amen? Amen. He didn't get up on the cross by himself. Amen. People put him there. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. Real powerful two verses that have always been dear to my heart for many, many years, because there's so much behind them. And the Bible reads, and because I preach this good news, Paul's speaking, and because I preach this good news, I am suffering and have been chained like a criminal. And this is the part I really want to hinge off the message here this day is, but the word of God cannot be chained. So I am willing to endure anything. Paul saw that he was chained like an animal for preaching the good news, amen, of the risen Christ. But he also was able to see, as he was chained, literally chained, that the word of the Lord could not be chained. He was able to see, though, when he was in chains and he would speak to the guards and those that were connected to him, that changes were taking place in their lives, no matter that he was in chains. So Paul in prison would get a revelation, though he was chained, though he was in prison, that the word of the Lord, the good news that he was preaching, could not be chained. So he came to a conclusion, because the word of the Lord could not be chained. In verse 10, he says, so I am willing to endure anything if it will bring salvation and eternal glory in Christ Jesus to Bianca, to those God has chosen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We love you. Give you all the glory and all the honor. You saw this day many, many, many years ago, Lord Father God. Though I couldn't see it, though Bianca couldn't see it, you saw it many, many years ago with the plan and the purpose that you had for her life. And I pray on this day, Lord, with the authority invested in me in you, Lord Father God, that you would put me to the side, that your word would go forth in power, in authority, and that everybody be convinced this day, no matter what they're feeling, if they feel they're locked up and chained up right now, that your word right now just start cutting through, Lord. Your word that cannot be chained. And that you set that woman free. That you set that man free, that young adult, Lord, through the preaching of the good news here on this beautiful Sunday morning, a day that you have made, Lord, to bring salvation. In the name of Jesus, we thank you. We love you. And we all say in one accord, amen. Amen. Once again, the title of the message is One Door Away. One Door Away. Here, Paul knew that even though he was locked up in chains, in prison, for preaching the good news, that nothing could change God's word. He knew it. There was proof before him. Lives were being changed as he was in chains. Speaking the good news, lives were being changed. And he was able to get to a revelation that the word of the Lord could not be chained. That nothing could stop God's word. He knew God's word was unstoppable weapon. He knew it was an unstoppable weapon that he had. Even though he was in shackles, he knew he possessed the gospel of the good news that was an unstoppable weapon, even in prison, even locked up, shackled up, amen, for preaching the good news, for doing what was right. He knew he had a weapon that the enemy could not take from him, not even in prison. The word of the Lord was an unstoppable weapon, and Paul knew it. He also knew God's word was a key. He also knew that his word was a key. If it couldn't be locked, that meant it was a key. He was locked up with the keys the guards would carry, or the only keys that could unlock the locks and the shackles that he was bound with. Amen. But Paul knew if the word of the Lord could not be locked, it made the word of the Lord a key that was able to unlock any hardened heart, able to unlock anybody's heart, whether you're in hard times and good times right now. Hear this day, what is key is God's word. And his word is going to work right now as I'm speaking. His word is going to start going to work. And you're going to want to fight it. You're going to want to fight the word. Amen. Even though it's unstoppable, even though you can't stop from God to do what he's wanting to do right now, as long as I keep speaking, you ain't going to be able to stop when the word of God is unleashed and set forth. It starts finding its place in your heart And it starts bringing a man and a woman, a young adult, to a place to say, God is trying to do something in my heart. I already feel the key at work. I already feel His word at work in my heart. I need help, and the help is going to come from the truth, the word of the Lord that is able to set any captive free. Even if you're feeling all locked up here this day. Once again, the title of the message, I want you to get it, One Doorway. God's word is a key, amen, to any locked heart. It's a master key. It's one that can open any heart. The hardened of hearts. The wicked of hearts, the one thinking right now, oh, what I've done, there's no way God can forgive me. His master key is even able to pick your lock, your heart. Those viewing online, I want to let you know that the word of the Lord is able to set you free. It's a truth that comes against the lies that the enemy is holding you hostage with. The word of the Lord is able to unlock any room, any room, even the one door away. The word of the Lord is able to unlock any room. And I believe there's parents with children right now that are locked up in their rooms, just as Bianca was for years, locked up in her room. With a deadly device, I put here, with a deadly device called a cell phone. It's a deadly device. The enemy is using the cell phone right now. He kills, steals, and destroys using a device, electronic device. And I'm not just speaking to the young adults. I'm speaking to the adults as well. You live on that phone night and day. As if it's your pair of lungs, as if it's oxygen, that you just gotta be on your phone. Because you're gonna miss out what everybody else is doing, like sinning, like dying. But you gotta be on that cell phone. It's a device, a deadly device, a deadly weapon. In the end times that we're living right now, the cell phone. A very, very deadly device that many are being deceived by, led by, dictated by, a cell phone. Some parents could possibly be seeing their children also on top of being locked up in a room with the deadly device of a cell phone, also encountering drug use of any kind, every kind. You find your daughter, your son, a cousin, a friend, someone you know from the workplace, right now has somebody locked up in a room trying to figure out life on a cell phone, with going off of what others have to say, what the latest fad is. Locked up in a room with a cell phone. That's all the young adults of today need, is a cell phone with some battery time on it and just be left alone. For years, I sat at my office chair praying for my daughter Bianca with no change. With no change. And here's where the title comes in, even though she was just one door away. My office is located at the far east side of the hallway there, and the next door to where I would pray here, and this property here, roughly 10 years, we just moved to the house, and I would pray. That's the door that's open right there, amen, with the glow, the Shekinah glory in it, amen? And I would find myself week after week, month after month, year after year, praying for my daughter that was just one door away, where I would meet with God, and God would speak to me, and God would move through me, and God would use me to counsel other daughters, other sons, and they were getting breakthroughs, and this was taking place that was good, and this was taking place. But yet, at the one doorway, closest to my office where I spent time with the Lord, my own very daughter was locked in her chains. Her door I put here was always locked. Amen? Ask me how locked it was. I'm going to tell you how locked her door was. The few times that she would leave her room, she would forget and lock herself out. That's how locked her room was. And she would say, "Dad," and I said, "What do you want?" She goes, "I locked myself out again." In our house, we never locked our doors. My living quarters were my bedroom quarters. Even though I had belongings, I never locked my doors. I never did. The 10 years there, we never locked the doors once. That's being a family underneath us, and that's with the whole rehab living in the same house. I never locked my doors once. So because that's such a truth, we really didn't have keys up there for these doors. Once in a while, we'd find one and see who would work. And because of Bianca, it became a problem not having keys to the doors upstairs. And she would ask, and I would unlock her room. Then finally, we got her a key. We got her a key that fit at the door, and she put it on a big old, you know, strap that goes around your neck. And I would be with the Lord, and another rare occasion, she would come out, and that room was so locked. Ask me how locked that room was. That she would close the door, go do what you say, and she would come back and say, "Dad," I says, "Yes, Bianca." She goes, "I locked my key in the room. I'm once again locked out of my room." So now we had problems because that was the key we had to get. So here I go picking locks and busting jams and everything to break her in back to her room to lock herself up. A fight would eventually break out between us, always being my fault. Always being my fault. Always my fault. And she would come, Bianca's famous one-liner, she would come with a one-liner saying that would say, "You know, I could be pregnant. I could be smoking crack, Dad. You should be happy for that, that I'm not pregnant and smoking crack." And she would use that line over. It was a good line, but it was getting old. There was one time we were having a regional. Nobody really knew what was going on behind the scenes, and we were in the green room. And I'm there with Pastor Nick, amen. Bianca made an appearance that day, believe it or not. And I said, "You know what, Pastor Nick, you know what my daughter says? You know, she says, that, you know, at least she ain't pregnant and smoking crack and all that, that I should be happy, you know, that I don't have a daughter that does that stuff." And then Pastor Nick, with all his wisdom, looked at me and said, "She's right. She's right." And just empowered her some more to use that line. I mean, just empowered that line again just to be used over, because now even Pastor Nick approved and said she was right. Once again, I'm still the only one that is always the bad guy, the wrong guy. The battle within the room, one door away. It looked like Bianca was winning, but she was really losing. She would tell me her dreams and her plans, her getting together with her friends and what they were going to do and be and everything, but She was locked up in a room. There was no way it was going to come to pass in that room. And though the one door away from where I met with the Lord every morning was still locked to keep everybody out, God's word that cannot be chained, kept out, was entering her room. Slowly but surely, the word of the Lord was entering the room that was one door away where I was with the Word, God Himself. What she was trying to lock out was locking her in. What she was trying to accomplish, what was locking her in this room. But within her heart, she knew her life had so much more value, but she was alone with a deadly device called the phone, locked up in the room. She was trying to lock out what was locking her in. Question: what certain things could be locked in your life right now? What certain things could be locked within your heart right now that needs to be removed? That you've tried over and over and over. You've even used lines, well, at least I'm not pregnant and could be on crack. And you've tried everything. Every post coming on the phone, every fad, every new idea of the breakout to take place within your life. And you find yourself still locked within your life, locked within your heart. You could be successfully going to work, school, driving a nice car, living in a nice place with big dreams, but locked up within your life and heart. But there are certain things that are locking your heart up from serving God. And we continue to put God at the rear end as the last resort. And just in case something might work that the world, the cell phone has to offer. And we continue to hope for things of the world to unlock our lives, to unlock our hearts. And then we'll serve the Lord. Then we'll do what is right. And too many times we give the world just too much credit when it's the one that got you locked up in the room in the first place. We all start off with a godly keyhole within our heart. We all start off with a godly keyhole in our heart, and it's called a void. We all have a hole in our heart. Some have bigger holes in your heart, bigger voids than others. Bianca had a void within her life. And we allowed her to try it her way over and over. And my wife would bring food to her door, ask what she wants to eat. I said, "You're spoiling her, man. She hasn't done anything to earn nothing. Why do you continue to spoil her?" These were the conversations me and my wife had behind walls. You need to award her when she does something right. I would stay locked in that room also, the way you're catering to her. So my wife would be the good cop, and I had to be the strong cop, not bad cop, but the strong cop. Because I knew she was one door away, but yet so far away. I knew God was going to have to come in that room to set her free, to unlock her heart, her thinking, and to finally be convinced to do it His way. So it don't matter how successful you might be right now. I've been doing this for a while. You could be highly successful in the eyes of the world right now and be totally locked up in your heart right now. Stuck within your life right now. Unhappy. There's a void. You know you're missing out on something that's greater than what you're doing right now. There's a void within your life right now that no matter how hard you work and no matter how good you try to be good, something great is still missing within your life. We all start off with a godly keyhole within our heart, a void that can only be filled with God's Word, the key. Gate unlocked, that's prison talk, but it came out, amen? Every time they open the yards, it's called a gate unlocks. You know, everybody runs out to the yard and all the sports and everything out there, it's a gate unlock. But those gates only unlock when they want them to unlock. But here we serve the Lord. He is the Word. He is a key. And there's no lock that He can't pick. There's no one so hardened here this day or viewing online that the Word of the Lord that cannot be chained, that is a key, cannot open. And that's why our ministries all around the world internationally right now. Let's give the Lord a good clap offering. He's able to unlock any color of skin, any background, any language. There's nothing that can stop the Word of the Lord from unlocking any hardened heart. His Word, Paul knew, could not be chained. And therefore, if it could not be chained, it was a key to unlock any and every lock. Outside of God's promises for your life, you will always sense you're missing out on something. You'll always sense the void within your life. When you ain't operating as God has called you to operate, there will always be an inner void in your life that no opposite sex, no amount of drugs or money could ever fill. Because the world's many different keys cannot fit in a man's heart, in a woman's heart, in a young adult's heart. There's only one key that fits, and that is the Word of the Lord. It is the master key. It's the master key. The master key. Master keys are very, very, very valuable. We used to have a man that used to work at the VA hospital down the street, and he was given a key that was worth more than $1 million, because it was a key that could open every door in that place, which is 1,000 doors. It's called the master key. It's able to open all these, and everyone else got a different key. Everybody's got their different keys, but then there's the master key that is able to open all the doors. And this is the Word of the Lord. It's the master key. It's able to open any man's heart, any woman's heart, any young adult's heart, whatever you're tripping on. That key is able to come in on the right timing, and it's able to fit, amen? And the Lord will let you know that it's a fit. The Lord will let you know this is what I've been missing out on. The Lord will let you know that it's His promise, it's His Word, that you what you need within your life right now. Outside of the promises, outside of God's promises for your life, You will always sense you're missing out the void. And people search further and deeper and stay locked up longer within their rooms because all they're trying to do is fill a void that only God can fill. Bianca's state, being under this state for so long. I said, okay, Bianca, go at it. Have at it. That's your plan. Go for it. It's not going to work. No, Dad, but you don't understand. I talked with my friends. We're all doing it together. It ain't happening, Bianca. I mean, I hope it does, but it ain't happening. And one day she would get mad with one, be nice to the next one, make up with the other one. And that plan never got out the window, never got out the door. It stayed locked in the room. It went as far as a text could go. Yeah, we're going to do it, we're going to do it. We're going to do this, and we're going to live here, we're going to do this. We're going to live together, she even said, I remember. We're going to live together. I go, wait till you live together. You make it that far, that will break the plan. Up to present time, she's been living alone, locked in a room. I mean, know what it is to live with people, amen? Bianca's state in that room would be thinking and thinking and thinking. Maybe she might have said, could Dad be right? Maybe she did, and I don't know. She could tell me after the service, amen? But I know her state was slowly making a shift because of God's word entering the room one door away from my office. The Lord didn't have to go far. Amen? Slowly but surely, his word that could not be chained, but that was also a key, was able to unlock her door without using her key, enter in, was able to unlock her heart, amen, because the timing was right. And she would get an idea to confirm that God's word was making his way through into her room and life, her thinking. The women's conference started this year, early this year. What month was that, January? March. This March of 2022, the women's conference was taking place. And at the last second, my daughter tells my wife, I want to go to the women's conference, Mom. Well, she don't have no clothes, so Mom starts taking her shopping, some serious shopping. I go, man, she better not be working an angle. This is the good cop thinking, amen? Or bad cop, hard cop, whatever you want to call me. And she would buy her this, and Bianca says, well, I need this. And Bianca said, well, I need this. And I'm looking at my wife, I say, what has she done to deserve all this? She's going to the women's conference. She's going to the women's conference. All right, well, you brought her enough stuff. Stop. Because I had seen her in that room locked up for years now. I want some proof. Who wouldn't want a little bit of proof? It wasn't that I was being doubtful, though I was. I hadn't gotten no proof. Though just knowing that God is faithful. Get her a quick flight. She's on the plane with the girls, my wife, headed towards California for the women's conference of 2022. The opening night was an evening. I believe Georgina would preach opening night. But in the first morning session, the very second day they were there, the morning session, God would send forth his word through a 23-year-old pastor's kid from Germany, which is 4 hours away from Amsterdam, where she's been now for the last 8-9 months now. God would use a 23-year-old PK pastor's kid, just like Bianca, and she would come forth sending God's word. It was a 10 minutes of fire. See, sometimes God don't need much timing. When the timing is right and you are at the right place, God don't need much time to open your heart. This sister had a 10 minutes of fire, time to work under, and little did she know, she was probably nervous, not probably, she was nervous. She came all the way from Germany to the women's conference, was asked to give a 10 minutes of fire, and little did she know, when she would unleash the word of God, unleash the word that could not be chained, unleash the key, amen, that one of the girls, of the thousands that were there in attendance that day, would be Bianca, that would be listening to the 10 minutes of fire. Bianca had heard preaching her whole life. She's heard 5 minutes of fire. She's heard every kind of fire. She's made fires, all that. She's known everything about preaching. But God, knowing who was in the audience, brought a girl from Germany to unleash his word and to become that key that would open the treasure out of darkness called Bianca. Let's give the Lord a good clap offering. Her name was Giovanna. Say Giovanna. I'll always be grateful for that sister for the rest of my life. The one God would give the word to at 23 years old, that had the faith and the hope and the obedience to the call of God upon her life to unleash the word. To unlock the treasure out of darkness, Bianca. What month was that on? February? I want to take you back to March as the lights go off.
Right now, it's a privilege to be here, to be sharing with you this morning. I just wanted to thank God for these opportunities.
Dar gracias a Dios por esta oportunidad.
I thank God for the leaders that made this able for me.
Quiero dar gracias a Dios por los líderes que hicieron esto posible para mí.
Ministry.
Y quiero dar gracias a Dios por este ministerio.
How many are grateful for our founders?
¿Cuántos dan gracias por nuestros fundadores?
Amen. I'm in absolute awe of what God is doing in my life.
Estoy sorprendida por lo que Dios está haciendo en mi vida.
I never saw myself being a gango leader or worship leader.
Y nunca me vi como líder de gangos o de alabanza.
I never saw myself up here, definitely.
Nunca me vi definitivamente aquí arriba.
But God saw me here.
Pero Dios me vio aquí.
The seed that we view is so small.
Y ves lo que vemos es tan pequeño.
That we're so quick to dismiss. God already sees that seed.
Y somos tan rápido que Dios ya ve esa semilla como un árbol.
Don't make your seed small.
No, es tu semilla pequeña.
So I want to get right into it this morning because I know
quiero entrar
to
la palabra porque quiero ahorrar mi tiempo.
And I want to get right into the word in John chapter 15.
Y quiero
verse 16.
Entrar la palabra en Juan 15:16.
It reads, "You have chosen me. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you."
Ustedes no me eligieron a mí, pero yo los elegí a ustedes.
And I have appointed and placed and purposefully planted you.
Les encargué que produjeran fruto.
So that you would go and bear fruit and keep on bearing.
Para que sigas dando frutos duraderos.
And that your fruit will remain and be lasting.
Así que tu fruto pueda durar.
So that whatever you may ask of the Father in my name, he may give to you.
Para que lo que le pidas al Padre en mi nombre, él te lo pueda dar.
So Father, I just thank you for this word that you've given me, Lord. Let not one word that is not directed by you come out of my mouth this morning, God. I pray, Lord, as we're just getting started in this convention, in our first morning, God, that our hearts will be open to receive from you, Father. Lord, we give you all of the honor and all of the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. So before we get started, there's three things that I need you guys to know, just
real
quick.
Antes de empezar, hay tres cosas que quiero que ustedes sepan.
First thing,
la primera cosa,
you are a seed.
Tú eres una semilla.
You've been planted, you didn't just appear.
Has sido plantada, no solamente apareciste.
There is a seed sown in your life that had to be tended to, that has to be nurtured, that had to be watered.
Que estuvo en tu vida, que se pudo dar agua, que se tuvo que atender.
Second thing,
la segunda cosa,
you're responsible for the planting and the growth of your own seed.
Eres responsable por el crecer de esa semilla.
And God desires to give you increase. God desires to see growth in you.
Dios quiere dar aumento, quiere ver crecimiento en ti.
And there's nothing going to come from your seed if not through Him.
Y algo que no va a venir tu semilla que no sea a través de Él.
But God's not going to water your seed until you're ready to reap the harvest.
Pero Dios no te va a dar esa agua hasta que estés listo para esa cosecha.
If we can't handle the growth, if we haven't prepared for the acceleration,
prepararte para la aceleración,
if our capacity isn't capable of carrying the harvest,
si nuestra capacidad no puede llevar esa cosecha,
how can He ever give us more?
¿Cómo es que Él nos va a dar más?
If you're not actively working towards expansion,
si no estás trabajando activamente a la expansión,
then how do you expect to accommodate for the growth that you pray
así
for?
¿Cómo esperas poder tener lugar para el crecimiento que va a venir?
Third thing,
la tercera cosa,
you reap in a different time than you sow.
Tú vas a agarrar esta cosecha en un diferente tiempo del que siembras.
There's a season for sowing.
Hay una temporada para plantar.
And there's a season for reaping.
Y una tiempo para recibir la cosecha.
And there's a transformation period in between.
Y hay un tiempo de transformación en el medio.
So now we get to the fun part.
Ahora entramos a la parte divertida.
I said earlier that God cannot water our seed.
Dije antes que Dios no puede echar agua en nuestra semilla.
If we do not have the capacity for the harvest.
Si no tenemos la capacidad para la cosecha.
But what happens to a seed if you don't water it?
Pero qué pasa a una semilla si no le das agua?
If your seed never gets watered at all.
Si su semilla nunca recibe agua.
Then what's the difference between planting a seed and burying your seed?
¿Cuál es la diferencia entonces de plantar una semilla y enterrar una semilla?
Watering is the last step.
El poner agua es el último paso antes del aumento.
The transition point from the hidden destiny.
Es el punto de transición del destino escondido.
To the visible fruit.
Al fruto visible.
And before that fruit.
Y antes ese fruto.
A seed planted can look just like a burial.
Una semilla plantada se puede ver como aquella que fue enterrada.
For both, you have to dig deep. You have to get out of the ground.
Tienes que ir a lo profundo. Tienes que ponerte en el suelo.
But only one of those has a destiny.
Pero solo una de esas semillas tiene destino.
When you plant something, you plant it with the intention of it going through a transformation in the ground.
Lo haces con la intención de que va a haber una transformación
en el piso.
Para que cuando salga, salga algo mejor de cuando se plantó.
But sometimes, when we're underground, we can't even tell if we're being planted or buried.
Pero estamos en el piso, no podemos darnos cuenta.
And it can get a little uncomfortable, and we can feel a little stuck, and it can get a little dark down there, and all of a sudden we feel the pressure, and it's a little dirty in the underground.
Sentimos sucias, estamos sucias en el piso.
We feel claustrophobic, we feel alone.
No podemos respirar,
we feel solas,
nos sentimos olvidadas.
But what if God's trying to plant a seed, but we can't get past the fact that it looks like a burial?
Y no podemos ver más allá de que nos sentimos enterradas.
For the affliction that we live in. Water
porque no tienen acceso al agua como lo necesitan.
They're dependent on the conditions
depende de la condición
of their surroundings
de su alrededor
to be fruitful.
Para poder tener fruto.
But God doesn't desire for you to be dependent on your surroundings.
Y Dios no quiere que tú dependas de lo
God
que está
doesn't
a tu
desire
alrededor.
For you to only be fruitful
no
when
que
your leader is fruitful.
God
doesn't desire for
leader.
You to only be successful
Dios no quiere
in your
que
ministry when you have a short team backing you.
Ministerio.
God desires for you to
Dios
personally
que puedes
be so
perseguir.
Close to Him
y que
for
estés cerca de él.
Your leaves to stay green
para
in
que
every
hojas
season.
Estén verdes en cada temporada.
Regardless of what's going on around you. Regardless of what situation you find yourself in.
Everybody gets excited at conference.
And everybody hears from God at
conference.
But be careful that you don't get so caught up in the excitement
Pero
that you miss the window
que no te enredas
of which
emoción,
God wanted you to be planted. The part that matters is not you crying at the altar at
Porque
convention.
Lo que importa no es que tú estés llorando
seed.
En el altar.
Esa
es la semilla. La semilla es el principio.
Some people like to act like the seed is the goal.
Algunas les gusta actuar como la semilla es la meta, pero la semilla es el principio.
What matters is what you do with the seed once you get home.
Lo que haces con la semilla cuando vas a casa, cuando vas de regreso a tu iglesia, a tu región. ¿Qué es lo que vas a hacer cuando Dios te planta en esa dirección?
Don't leave this convention the same.
No dejes
esta
convención de igual manera.
We're so grateful that you want a
relationship
with us.
God,
you desire us to be close to you. God, every single woman that has come
Yo
to this convention center today,
convención.
God. Every woman online,
cada
Lord, that
niña.
They will understand that they are purposefully
tiene,
planted by the living water.
Plantada.
I pray that we will become desperate
que
for your water, God. That we will become desperate
agua,
for the source, desperate for growth, God.
Recurso,
that we will become
Dios para
desperate
crecer.
For you, Lord.
Esperadas
we love
ti,
you.
Dios, te amamos. En el nombre de Jesús. Amén.
That was the word that was for my daughter. And right after that word was unleashed, she would turned to my wife and say, I need to go to the training center, which we were trying to get her to go for years, and I'll never go to the training center. It's the last place I'm going. And before you knew it, we made a connection, called somebody late night there and everything. Man, we almost had her on the plane on the same night and wanted to come back to the one door away from my office. And God, through that 10 minutes of fire, bringing somebody all the way from Germany, obviously that was not good enough. Amen? He would bring a 23-year-old girl, a pastor's kid as well, to unleash the word, the key to unopen the locked heart of my daughter. And the rest is history. She's doing great now in Amsterdam right now. Now she's giving the word over and over and over to other girls that are entering the training center. And now being, I have a point here, says there's times that you will be that lock, that locked lock. There's times that you will be that locked lock, and there's times that you will be the Lord's key to someone's locked heart. So I don't know if you're a key here this day of the Lord, or you just might happen to be a locked heart here this day. The word of the Lord has gone forth, amen, and it's able to accomplish what He set it forth to do. Amen. And that's why, even though that was in March, my daughter's here because the word of the Lord didn't just unlock her heart, but it's accomplishing His will and purpose for my daughter's life. Amen. And because of that, I got a picture now. If you put the picture, please. That's Bianca. Amen. With Giovanna there, amen. Let's see if I said her name right. Giovanna. I guess after the preaching that day or whatever, but they met up and everything. But that was my daughter's fake smile right there. Take a look at it. That's like, this is the smile that says, I'm happy, everything's okay. Pastor Charlie's my dad. But there's a difference in those two smiles right there. Because dad checks everything out. Yep. One is a pose that's been practiced 1,000 times over. And the other one's a pose that's been broken by the Lord. That it really don't matter what you look like. It's what's taking place in your heart and life right now. Of what really matters to the Lord. So we see this picture of Bianca and this girl that gave the word. God brought them together. And I believe, Bianca being in Amsterdam, they've had regionals where I believe Giovanna would come there and still gets to see Bianca because it's 4 hours away, Germany, from Amsterdam. But you see how God makes things fit? But in order for him to make things fit, you got to be at the right place, doing the right things, and wanting change within your life. Because that void speaks. The void speaks and says, I am not living the life I should be living. The void speaks the word of the Lord. The void. But too many times as the void speaks, we try to fill it with the things of the world. We all have a hole in our heart, a void within our lives right now that God is desiring to fill within your life, to make you a complete man of God, a complete woman of God, a complete young adult. And Bianca's void being filled now has come with a lot of ministry now. You know, I mean, wildfire. And I mean, they're really stretching her. Amen. But the reason she's still being stretched is because her capacity is still greater than where she's at right now. And too many times we don't want to be stretched because it hurts or it's not being done the way we would want it done. So we stay small. Our capacity never reaches the place that the Lord would want to use us. Because being stretched of the Lord hurts. But the payoff is so great. Amen. Not only for your life, but for all the lives that God is going to use you no longer to be the locked lock, but to be the word, the key to unlocking all those lives that are lost and bound that need salvation. Amen. As the worship team kindly makes their way here this day, I'm not going to be long here this day. I just want to make a point to any and every parent out there right now listening to my voice that God is able. And don't let success of the world allow you to think that your children are okay now because they're being successful. Because the success of the world on its best day will never fill the void of the heart. Amen. It just never will. There's no way around it. It just doesn't work. Let us have the void within our heart that only God can fill be filled, and let us be successful. There's nothing wrong with being successful. That's a good thing. But when we put success before the void, then you will have a problem. I want us to stand here on this beautiful day. I want to thank everybody that had anything to do with working with my daughter and giving her a word here and there and whatever you had to say for her, taking her out mentoring her and any little thing you had to do with her walk that got her out of that room, the one doorway is open now, is opened. Finally now, I can close my door, and Bianca's door is the one that's open right now to do what God has called her to do. And it's not going to come easy. It's not going to be easy. She already knows that. But I pray here this day that every mother, every father be challenged with hope that your sons, your daughters are going to make it. They're going to make it. Even if it looks like they're locked up to you right now and they're not listening and they're doing it their way, the word of the Lord is going forth and it's going to accomplish what it accomplished for my daughter, for your son, because the word of the Lord can't be stopped. It can't be chained. It's a weapon. It's a weapon. A God. I'm going to open up the altars here this day. And you got to allow the word of the Lord. It's time for you to water it. The word of the Lord is a seed. As Giovanna said, it's a seed. The Bible says some water, some till, but it is the Lord that makes the seed grow. He is the source. Don't be ashamed of your condition here this day. For the word of the Lord, which is the key, has gone forth. And he's got a plan for your life. He's got a great plan for your life. He's got a great plan for your life. He ain't mad with you. He ain't angry at you. Because they know that even you can't stop his word. He knows that even you cannot stop what he wants to do within your life, within your heart. Oh, in the name of Jesus, will you answer the call of God? His word has gone forth. And it has landed in your heart. But he gives you free will here this day to make the decision of answering the call, of getting out of that room to be in the room. You have never messed up enough to stop God's word from fulfilling what he's called it to do. Respond to the call of God. Whatever changes that need to be made here this day. Because your heart right now is unlocked. It's unlocked. To allow the seed, the word of the Lord, to produce a harvest of 30, 60, and 100 fold. To produce way beyond what was sown here this day. Oh, in the name of Jesus.
I will
a great heart.
a great harvest.